You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Wake up!
Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Good morning to Ed Alexander.
Good morning, Christy Simone. Friday.
We made it.
Friday, almost. Getting there.
We made it.
Look at that.
The very busy show today. We got Eastside Don coming up with his latest column in ADI. Ron Arenas, Picture Rocks Heating and Cooling. Rocco's Little Chicago, finishing off our Italian Heritage Week.
Yay. That's a good thing.
We have Mabel Gummery running for legislature, and then McCluskey and I get in trouble in the third hour. So.
As usual. It's a good thing. It's a good end of the week.
We're going to talk to Eastside Down now, but the big story locally is the lockdowns of Pima County and the city of Tucson, and Doug Ducey has killed the Cafe Poca Cosa.
Is that amazing?
35 years. I'll tell you, we'll have memories of Poca Cosa after we talk to Eastside Down, but that one's on... A little bit on the COVID, but mostly it's Rahina City Council, Huckleberry, Ramon Valadez, and Doug Ducey killing Poca Cosa. So,
shutting down everything.
Let's go to Eastside Don, who is on the east side.
Right.
Look at that. You made it so easy for me, Don.
Two of us to figure that out, but that's okay.
Don, good morning, sir.
Good morning, everybody. I have, like everybody else, I'm trying to do my part to get people to go out and vote for the Republican candidates this year, and that means not only Donald Trump for president and Martha McSally for Senate, but also our three area GOP candidates for the House of Representatives. That would be Tiffany Shedd in CD1, Brandon Martin in CD2, and Daniel Wood in CD3. So I have two columns that I've written in the Arizona Daily Independent, and each one talks about a particular reason for why you would want to vote Republican this particular election. And the first reason would be to avoid another impeachment, and the second reason would be to avoid a series of federal bailouts that I'm confident will happen if the Democrats get full control in Washington. So which one do you want to talk about?
Let's talk about bailouts first, because isn't this something that basically, Nancy put in this HEROES Act that they passed that they want to do when the $3.8 trillion bailout, wasn't that what you're talking about, the bailouts for poorly run states and cities in that?
That's a large part of it, is that the cities have been asking for a lot of money, mostly Democrat-run cities, and the point that President Trump is making is that many of these cities are overtaxed and they're poorly run, and they're not business friendly, and that is the cause of a lot of their problems. But everybody's so focused on the COVID and the riots right now is they're asking for lots of money. The states, also, Democrat-run states, are also asking for a lot of money to cover up for some of the problems they've had. Like, for example, the state of Illinois has asked for billions of dollars for COVID relief, but they've also asked for relief for their pension system. Let's see, I mean, just pull the article up right now. The New York Times ran an article back in April saying that Illinois needs $40 billion in relief from the federal government because of the coronavirus pandemic, to include $10 billion to help bail out its beleaguered pension system. Okay? And the article, there is a pension expert at the American Enterprise Institute. His name is Andrew Biggs. He helped manage Puerto Rico's bankruptcy. And he told the Washington Free Beacon that a bailout for Illinois could break the dam for federal funding. If Illinois got money, then everybody's going to ask for it. All of these pensions have some level of funding problems. And so I would just ask people to use common sense. Put yourself in the seats of the Democrats. Imagine you had just won the White House, you just won the House, you just won the Senate, and you knew that you were about ready to implement a whole bunch of radical programs that a lot of Americans would be upset about, and that means you probably would lose the House or the Senate 2 years from now in the 2022 elections. But you've got control of the federal purse strings. You've got control of the federal checkbook for 2 years. What are you going to do with it?
Well, you know, so it's so funny you brought this up. So Dr. Neil sent us a chart on the pension plan problem of who's the worst right now, and Illinois is definitely the worst. Kentucky's not very good. Not, this won't shock you. New Jersey and Connecticut are horrendous.
Right.
California is not as bad as you think, but they're not great either.
But Illinois, New Jersey, and Connecticut, and also California, those are states that are controlled by Democrats. They have lots of Democrats in safe seats. So they can push through huge spending programs and not have to worry about getting pushed out of office. I mean, we saw what the Democrats did with Obamacare, and I admit I have to admire their discipline. They knew they were going to get a backlash at the in the midterm elections when they passed Obamacare. But they did it. They pushed the program through, and they sacrificed a lot of seats. They gave up control of at least the House of Representatives, and I think they lost the Senate, too. I'm not sure about that. But they were willing to pay an electoral price. So, again, put your just use common sense. Pretend you were a Democrat, and you're saying to yourself, okay, this is the best chance I might have to use federal money to get to bail me out of all the bad mistakes that I have made managing my city and my state. And human nature is you're going to take that opportunity.
And we've seen a little bit of the spin on that in the McSally race, because I remember they were saying that she was against the HEROES Act, and which was it would help cities fund the basics like police, right? And you're sitting there going, this is, you know, you're in the end bailing out cities that didn't take care of police in the first place.
So why should we trust these cities to manage that money effectively now? I mean, are they all of a sudden going to start managing the money effectively well once we give them a federal bailout? Well, they should have been managing it effectively in the first place. And, you know, it's very easy to go on the Internet and find examples of how blue cities and blue states have mismanaged their money. They've made poor investment decisions. They have they've given generous benefits that were not supported by the revenue streams coming in, and running up these huge debts. And again, I can't 100% tell you what the future is going to be, but common sense is if you were a Democrat legislator and you had control of the federal checkbook in Washington come January 2021, and you had a lot of people back home clamoring for money, human nature would be to write as many checks as you could, and we're going to pay those checks.
All right, let's have a little fun today. Someone sent me their Ann Kirkpatrick for Congress postcard. Are you ready?
Sure.
I want you to, you're paying attention. Tell me if any of this sounds true or false to you. Ready? I'm going to give you some of the, let's see what we got here. She's a local leader who's taken time to get to know this community on a first name basis. What do you think of that line, Don?
Well, she had to do that because she didn't live here. I mean,
she still hasn't done it. Where has anyone seen Ann Kirkpatrick in the last 2 years since she won this thing? Nowhere.
I mean, she's a nice person, but the policies she supported are not good, in my opinion.
Now,
Donald Trump, in many ways, is not a nice person, but his policies are good. They've benefited me. They've benefited us, and that's really what matters. I'm not going to invite Ann Kirkpatrick over to my house for dinner. I'm not going to invite Donald Trump over for dinner. They probably wouldn't come if I invited them. But what matters are the policies that they implement that affect my community, and that's what matters.
So here's another one. She says she's found the solutions for what's coming next in our world.
Ooh, psychic.
That's reassuring.
Madam Ann. Okay. Psychic.
Now, here's
better.
So, Don, you know you talk about bringing home the bacon, right? Okay.
Yeah.
She's proud of $2.1 million that she's brought. 2.1 in the district. That's nothing, 2.1. Is that something to be proud of?
No. It would motivate me to vote for her. It's important to think about what Ann Kirkpatrick is going to. And Ann Kirkpatrick is part of a Democratic majority, and look what that Democratic majority has done. And that kind of segues into my second article, the impeachment. I'm predicting that if, and I may be wrong, but I'm that sometimes predictions are wrong. It does happen. That if Donald Trump wins the White House and the Democrats hold on to the House of Representatives, that there's going to be intense pressure to impeach him again.
Right.
And I know the impeachment did not work out well for the Democrats the first time, but they're going to have several reasons that motivate him to do it. First, revenge. They're going to want some sort of revenge against him. The progressive base will be furious. And the progressive base is very strong in the House of Representatives, and is getting stronger. In the second article I wrote, I point out that this past primary cycle, some long-standing traditional Democrats were primaried out of their seats by progressive activists that are more aligned with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the squads. You can expect the Democrats to get more progressive, more aggressive, and it stands to reason that they will try to impeach Donald Trump again, if nothing else, to make him look bad and complicate his life. And another reason is it's good tactics, because if Donald Trump wins re-election, the best opportunity he's going to have to get any legislative accomplishments will be in 2021. Because as you go on into subsequent years of his second term, you're getting closer to the next presidential election. Donald Trump will be a lame duck president. So the best opportunity for him to get something passed is going to be next year. So if you want to run the clock out on his best opportunity for getting good legislation passed, you tie up as much of the 2021 legislative year as you can, and an impeachment is a good way to do that.
All right, so my last question on those congressional seats. Give me a little bit of a prognostication, Eastside Karnak. What do you think on the three Southern Arizona congressional races? How do you think it's going to go?
Personally, I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, I was convinced Donald Trump was going to lose in 2016. I was probably one of the happiest people in Tucson when he won. And I don't think any of us know. But the benefits of having more GOP congressmen and congresswomen from Arizona are obvious. I mean, if the election, when I came on last time and I talked about the possibility of a contingent election where the House of Representatives that decides who the president's going to be, if we took the vote within the Arizona delegation with the current makeup we have, which is 5 Democrats and 4 Republicans, Arizona would vote for Joe Biden. So simply flipping one of those 3 seats from Democrat to Republican would give us a 5-4 Republican majority, plus all the other benefits we have in terms of actually accomplishing something that conservatives want. I don't know how the election's going to go. We should all presume that we are 10 points behind, but that we can get there. So people need to be out there volunteering. They need to be donating to the extent that they can without irritating their neighbors. They need to be talking to people and encouraging them to get out to vote. And that's one of the reasons that I wrote these opinion pieces, is because I wanted to give specific reasons why people should go out and vote GOP this year.
All right. Check his work out on ArizonaDailyIndependent.com. Eastside Don, we know him online as Don Smith. So, Don, good job,
that's
buddy.
Right. All right, thanks. Have a good one.
You too, sir. When we come back, we'll start the eulogy for Cafe Poca-Cosa killed by lockdown policies in Tucson, Pima County. So wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. If you want to share your memories of Poca-Cosa, 790-2040. A 35-year culinary icon dead from lockdowns. Yeah. Wake up. 6:25 in the morning. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show. Yesterday, we all got the press release that the iconic Cafe Poca-Cosa on Pennington is calling it calling it quits.
Calling it quits. Gone. Thrown in the dish towel.
So, I've known Susanna for years. She said in the thing that she wanted to leave this thing to her kids.
All right.
So for some of you who say, well, maybe she's just cashing out, she wants to retire, which is possible, but she did go out of her way to say she was something she wanted to leave for her kids. She built she's a amazingly smart business person. She gets it. She hasn't compromised in her life. That's what I love about her. Like, I could sit in her place. Like, two of my favorite restaurant owners of all time would be Susanna and Carlota. They know exactly what they want to do. They deliver the proper quality of what's going on. And so I used to go to the Poca-Cosa when it was at the Santa Rita Hotel.
I forgot about that, but yep.
Correct. So what happened was Betsy, our Betsy, and I worked together in our sales office together. We were working with Tom Tracy, and we basically ran all of Bert Lopez's hotels in those days. And Bert owned the Santa Rita, and we had our offices for, even though we sold 4 hotels, Actually, when they moved this over to the Holiday Inn thing, that sucked. It was way cooler to be in the Santa Rita. I used to walk right across the pool deck over to Susanna's for lunch. So check this out. So she had this great business model where she always got her decor right? Always had a cool feel to it. The new place was like the hippest Mexican restaurant ever without being over ostentatious like some of these places could be. And then you go there. She's got the chalkboard thing going, right? So no set menu, which was smart because she can adjust her menu not just to how she felt on what she wanted to cook, mm-hmm. but also of whether it was what was fresh, what was in the kitchen that needed to get cooked and fed and whatever, right? But then more importantly, the food always tasted great, right? When you take someone to this place, oh, it's a Mexican restaurant. There's nothing fried or wrapped in a tortilla.
Mm.
Right?
Point. Yep.
Kick-ass moles and different things that she did. And you got there, and there was always three chicken, three beef, maybe a pork, always a fish, and then what she called her tamale pie, which also was great. And she made it a tamale pie with a carrot curry sauce that was probably that carrot curry sauce was one of the greatest sauces that ever passed DeSimone's lips. But if Susanna can't make it downtown right now, that tells you what downtown has become as an economic pit. Now, you know, and one of the reasons why I think the Charros can survive down there is they have many other restaurants as part of the whole of what they do. Right? And so she's one restaurant, Susanna. But don't, so what's going to, what you know, so they're going to tell you it was because of COVID-19. I'm going to tell you it's lockdowns. The powers that be are going to blame the Rona. I'll blame the Rona for 10% of it. 90% of it is how you guys have handled it. So the death of Pocacosa is on Regina Romero and the city council, Ramon Valadez, Sharon Bronson, Chuck Huckleberry, and Betty Villegas.
It certainly is.
And on Doug Ducey. It's a bipartisan kill party.
Shut down, shut down, shut down.
So, we ran long with East Side Don, which was fine. We got CBS Bloomberg News coming up next. And I'm in a hairband mood. So I handed Ed my list and I said, get the hairspray out. Get the Aquanet out, Ed. It's a hairband Friday. Wake up, Tucson. 10:30 The Voice. We'll take your calls about Pocacosa when we come back. It's 6:34 in the morning. We're doing a little funeral eulogy show for Cafe Pocacosa. Knocked out by lockdowns, sad to say. Let's go to the phones. Give us a call if you have a Pocacosa memory, 790-2040. Bill, what's up, buddy?
Morning, guys, and good morning to all the Wakeys. I'm looking at this as a slightly different approach, and it could be one of the smartest things this woman's ever done. She could take this concept, rather than sit around and scratch out stuff in Tucson, Arizona, downtown, take this concept to any city in America she wants to do it in.
And kill it.
That's my next comment. Santa Fe, Denver, she could take it to Albuquerque. She could take it anywhere, and just kill it, as you said.
Scottsdale.
She could, yeah. If she wanted to be honest, she could take it to Hermosillo, you know. The point is she's done it. She knows how to do it. She knows how to do it right. I don't know if she could do multiple locations and still run them the way she likes to run them, but she could take one and she'd change it a little bit too, where she could do, you know, some carry out and stuff out, you know, and all the other stuff, but still have that fine dining seating and all that stuff. So, I mean, I'm looking at it like this could be the best move she's ever made.
No, I think you're right. Right. So we're talking about how this downtown thing more than ever is a tough sell, right? Yeah, than ever.
And I don't think she wanted this to happen. There's times in your life that you don't want things, you don't want to do something, and you look back on it and it turned out to be one of the best things you ever did. And this is probably one of those for her. So
no, I think that it's a great possibility, and you're right. If she could translate this into any other location of a city that actually makes money and has some sort of wealth generation, and she could kill it.
And appreciates the fact that you're there. That doesn't happen here.
One of the Wakeys on Facebook yesterday said, "Move to Oral Valley, you'll kill it."
She would probably, yeah. But I would pick a different town: Scottsdale, Denver.
Right. One where you have the region is forward moving on wealth generation and economic goodness, and she'll kill it.
And you know, she'd do that for 2 years and then give it to the kids. She'd still have the same thing going. Okay, guys, see you later.
Absolutely, Bill. Absolutely. I know some of you are saying, well, she's I got a couple of texts like, oh, she's just going to get a bailout from Rio Nuevo and all this stuff. I don't know if a bailout from Rio Nuevo is smart, because I don't know what the long-term prognosis is for downtown. It's a one-trick pony a little bit in relation to, there's not much variety of what's going on there. You have apartments going up, and now we're saying, now they're saying the trend is people don't want to live in, you know, close areas, and they're going rural, where literally
that screwed that all up,
right,
didn't it?
But literally 18 months ago, for the past 10 years, is like, if you don't have a vibrant downtown, you're dead.
Yeah. Now it's get out of downtown. It's great. Brilliant.
You know, it's like, I guess there's always
visionary.
You know, and so it's, well, so many things have turned on a dime during lockdown time, right? Whether it's college education or retail storefronts and downtown and high density living.
It's because nobody asked. One side didn't ask the other side what it was doing or what it thought. It's just you got 12 people deciding you're going to close down everything in this town. I mean, it's nationwide, but I mean, nobody asked. There wasn't a conversation about this. It was like, we're going to close everything down. Okay. And that was it. And it was like, what's the consequences of that? Never mind. We have to close it down because we're the boss.
Like I told you, Higgins and I were having this discussion over coffee one morning, where what they should have done is the COVID task force, instead of, like in the state of Arizona, instead of having this fool Dr. Christ and just the National Guard guy and Doug's flunkies that make up his office, why don't you have an actual public commission of, you have the same, you know, you have your health people in there. I got that. Okay. Give me a couple of good private doctors that are epidemiologists that are willing to go on the record, right? Give me a historian who could talk, give you historical perspective of what happened in the past. Give me a couple economists. Give me some stats people. Give me a cross-section of that team of folks that can help you make a better decision than just shut everything down. Because when I look at Dr. Fauci, Dr. Christ, and then Dr. Cullen in Pima County, my respect level's like zero. Like zero. So again, Bill's right. Susanna could take Pocacosa, go to a place that gets it, right? And go make money hand over fist.
And wants it, yeah.
You know, let's see. Another one of the old guard gone. Downtown Tucson has habitually ignored the old guard stores and catered to trendy businesses that had little longevity. You know who that comes from?
Margo.
Yep, one of the old guard.
Who else? I'm going, it sounds like Margo to me. She fought that battle a long, long time, too. Nobody cared.
You know,
nobody cared.
I remember when she told me that she was closing it up, the place, Hydra, and I said, I think it's smart. I think you're ahead of the trend. And then when you see what's on, now you see what's really gone down with downtown. Margo, as a Wild E. Coyote would say, looks like a super genius getting out of downtown right now. You know, even young Zach at the pivot point after me, he talks about how there's a lack of real housing downtown, you know, in relation. And there's just basics that are not downtown, right? How can you live in downtown with, now, Johnny Gibson's is a market, but there's no supermarket down there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Most of America, you know, is, you know, they need their pharmaceuticals from Walgreens. There's nothing like that. There used to be one downtown, but we're not doing that either. Remember when Osco said they were going to move in across from Margo in the old Chicago?
Remember that whole thing? Music stand, yeah.
All right? And what happened was they were a little worried about, one of their things was they were worried about so much Shoplifting?
Yeah. When Walgreens, that's a really good point. When Walgreens left, you knew it was over.
Right.
I mean, if you can't sell drugs downtown, you know there's something wrong with downtown.
Downtown, where come all the drugs on. Are bright. Downtown, oh. We're all feeling right.
It was a long time
downtown.
Ago.
So Margo's right, right? When they show you all the shiny bauble places, right? And
hip joints.
I remember sitting with Susanna one day. We're having lunch, and I said, "Well, how's it going with all these new places?" She goes, "Chris, it's always the same thing. What happens is all the people downtown go, oh, look at that place over there.' And I see a little loss of customers, and then they always come back and go, eh, we gave it a shot. You know, I do want to tell a story about Susanna that's so Susanna. I've told it before on the air, but it's appropriate right now. She has her salsa and her chips that comes out to your table. And ever since I was probably back in the world of when she was at the Santa Rita, I would ask the server to bring some extra chopped chilies that I would throw in the salsa to give it a little kick. Been doing it for 10 years. One day, she's never seen it happen, though. So she's walking, and she sees me putting the chilies in the salsa, and she goes, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, we're just spicing." And she goes, "You eat things as I intend them to eat." So she actually takes the salsa and my chilies, and she doesn't say a word, and she walks off with them. And the people, I was there with some clients, some tourism clients, and they're like, "Did she just take our salsa?
What the hell?"
Right? Happened? It was hilarious, right? It was like a weird soup Nazi moment. She took away my soup, right? And what happened was, she comes back with a trio of homemade salsas that she just made for us, right? And one was like this habanero, she roasted it and then she pureed it. It was possibly two or three of the best salsas I've ever dipped a chip in. And so, of course, the deal was, I said, "So what, we're going to do this every time?" And she goes, "Yes." So when I would go in, I would say, "Chris the pain in the ass wants his special salsa," and she would do it. And that's her. She no compromise. This is what we do. I remember the people downtown wanted me to do one of my food tours down there. And so I'm sitting there having lunch and I go, "Hey, would you want to be part of this?" She goes, "Sure." And because we have five restaurants we go to, you want each place to serve a little bit of it because you can't do five full meals. You'll die at the end, right? But she's like, "Well, we're just ordering off the menu. I'm not making little plates. I don't need to." It was like, I got it. So we never went there because she's like, "Look, I'm doing fine. I'm doing my thing." She gets it. So what I love about, again, Susanna, uncompromising, loves her quality. I love the urban legends around the Plato Pocacosa, which of course is the one where they give you three random things off the menu and you don't know what they're at. And of course, like, part of the urban legend is there'd be that someone who doesn't eat pork. And one of the options could be pork. And they're like, "Well, I want to get the Plato Pocacosa, but I don't want the pork dish." And they're like, "You don't understand how this works. Three dishes are going to show up on one plate. The chef's choice. You don't get to dictate. Have a nice life. If you don't want the chance of getting the pork, order something else." So anyway, again, like I said, I don't want to say rest in peace, Pocacosa, because Bill's right. She could do this concept someplace else. Now, of course, Jim Horvath and Bert Lopez own the Oro Valley Marketplace, and they're looking for some love and trying to get some buzz on their redesign over there. Bert, right now, call up Susanna and say, "Hold on, I got a spot for you at the Oro Valley Marketplace." I'd be a spoiled little boy in Oro Valley. So we got our good friend Ron Arenas from Picture Rocks Heating and Cooling, who usually for an October, we would be talking to you about getting ready for winter.
Get the heat going.
Not yet. Not yet. Oh, here we go. We're doing hair bands. We're doing it all. Little Slade, Runaway. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice.
Hey, you're looking for DeSimone's election recommendations? Go to DeSimoneHQ.com under blog. Or is that blog?
Little Scorpions, Rock You Like a Hurricane. Ron Arenas, this is right in your wheelhouse, you know, growing up, right? This is your high school soundtrack. We're similar ages.
Yep. We're almost exactly the same age.
What high school did you go to again?
Tucson High.
Oh, Tucson High. We don't need no stinking Badgers. So you and I have talked a couple of times over the last week or so, and we are summer's not over, buddy.
Summer's not over. Maybe on the calendar it says it is, but the weather says no. Almost 100 degrees today.
I tell you something, and you go to picturerockscooling.com to find out more. Tell me about have you ever had this late of a summer?
We have. Yeah.
I guess
every once in a while you have some late summers.
I told them we were looking at the Oro Valley forecast on my phone on the my Weather Channel app, and it's the first time we see an 80s is like next Friday or Saturday. So
right, high 80s.
Thank you very much. And like I said, usually this is the time of year we're like, all right, Ron, how do we start getting ready for winter when our heat pumps start kicking in?
Right,
we ain't doing that either.
No, most people aren't thinking about heat right now.
Let's talk about that. You know, I get so excited about heat and the cooling in the hot summers, but you also have a plumbing division of what goes on.
We do. We're full service plumbing for both residential and commercial.
We used to talk about one time, last time, you had tankless water heaters.
Mm-hmm.
How's that trend going? Is that something that's getting more popular? People are still figuring.
There's definitely more people asking about it.
How does it work? So someone's listening now. What is a tankless water heater?
So instead of having that big tank of water that you're maintaining the heat 24/7, it's basically it's on demand. When you call for it, when you turn on your shower or your faucet, it's on demand. It starts heating right then and there. And when you turn it back off, it stops heating. So you don't have that tank of water to maintain.
How, so it's running through the system. There was a question I had for, I know I had a question about tankless water heating. And then, oh, so you save energy because you're not constantly heating this thing
water,
at the
right.
same time. Does it change? Oh, how big is the unit? That's what I wanted to ask you. Usually, because we know how big a water heater is.
Right. You place it on the wall, so it can either be interior in a water heater closet or in the garage, or it could be exterior on the side of your house.
Right.
And it's probably about a foot by 2 feet.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, right? So all of a sudden you
gain that space.
Right.
I have a friend who put one right above their washer and dryer. They built a shelf and a good big shelf and put it up there, and boom, it's in the house. No problem.
Yeah.
So if Ed and I want to build a still and put it where our hot water heater is, because Ed wants to put a still in Pliskin Acres in his mansion, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? Just whiskey?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Maybe tequila. I really would like. I got enough agaves outside. It might probably be tequila.
Mayor Ed's old fashioned mash. We'll call it.
Even if it takes me the rest of life to figure it out, it'll be a good thing.
Now, so again, 440-4069 to get Ron and his crew to either come fix your place, do your plumbing, and also, of course, check out your system, which is always something that a lot of the Wakeys have taken advantage of this summer.
Right.
So one thing I always like talking to you about non-cooling stuff sometimes. So your son plays football. What's the status of high school football right now? As a guy who's a proud parent, former player.
So right now, this moment, and it could change any moment, CDO is supposed to have their first game on the 30th of October.
Okay.
Yeah. And they're supposed to play 7 games.
Okay. Now, we know that the county just came out with a letter. You know, they're canceling Halloween, Thanksgiving, everything they can out there. And this foolish Dr. Cullen lady. Now, you know, AIA wants to do, they said, as long as there was 75 cases per 100,000 or less than that, everything's a go.
Right.
Right? Now, all of a sudden, the county's like, we want 10 cases per 100,000. Just ruining life for
crazy.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Just close everything down.
It's so sad. So I was just talking. Sorry, go. Uh-oh. I was just talking to someone who's very involved with high school football locally, and he was talking to the people at AIA, and they're telling me that literally, you know, they're playing football up in Phoenix.
Yeah, no, without any issues.
The county of Pima is the only foolish one still screwing around with the kids.
Right.
In this day and age, in an election, this is how sad it is in an election year that these people can get away just crushing, and they don't care. They're just crushing college, crushing these high school athletes.
Right.
It's pathetic.
Yeah. You know, some of these kids, of course, are in their senior year, and they're never going to get that back.
Correct. Hey, I had my senior lose her last half of her senior year because of what's going on. So,
right.
And that's when we had a lot of uncertainty.
Sure.
Right? Now there's a lot of certainty.
Yeah. We've had, 7 months of history.
Yep. We understand that it doesn't bother young people.
Right.
Right? We understand that it's a different strain of this thing now. We know that the hospitals are not overrun with anything right now in Arizona.
And we've already flattened the curve.
That's... We have already flattened the curve. So, again, I think he got a 61% shot of getting to that October 30th game.
Yeah, I think so.
So, who are they supposed to play?
They're supposed to play... Oh, that was a good question. I knew that.
That's all right. Is it home or away?
It is away. They have four away games and three home games.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Hey, as long as they get to play this year.
Yeah.
That's
they're all Tucson teams.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
440-4069, heating, cooling, and plumbing all in one spot. Ron and his family, he's got his sons are involved in the business. Janae, his beautiful wife's involved. This is truly the family business that has earned it and re-earned it over the years. So keep doing the good work.
Great. All throughout Southern Arizona, right? Down Sahara.
Yep.
Catalina, any place in between.
Vail. Uh-huh.
Right.
Yep. Everywhere in between.
440-4069, picturerockscooling.com. Ron has always nailed it because he's always on a Friday where Rocco's here.
Yeah.
That's great. Great
so
timing.
I smell Rocco cooking up something in the kitchen right now. So we're going to close Italian Heritage Week with Rocco. He also has an exciting announcement coming up. Of something there's a change at Rocco's coming up on Monday.
Ooh.
That I think a lot of you will be mildly excited about.
Ooh.
So, I'm Ron, excited. All the best to you and the Arenas family.
Fantastic. Thank you.
I will
have a great weekend.
Keep the CDO football team on my prayer list if they get to play football on the 30th.
Thank you.
All right. Take care, my friend. Good to see you. Ron Arenas, Picture Rocks Heating and Cooling. Remember, 440-4069. Remember, we also have a big party coming up October 27th at the Arizona Sands Club. Oh, my God. There's wings, pizza, and salad. It truly is the breakfast of champions.
Yay.
Arizona Sands Club, and it is we're at the north end zone of the U of A. It's going to be 5:30 start. And they're going to provide a food, beautiful, scrumptious culinary buffet and soft drinks for nothing. Liquor's on you guys. And it's going to be a beautiful night.
Think about a 36-foot bar.
Yeah.
Both sides. It's crazy. It's a place to see. And that's why we're going to do it. Come on out and join us. See what's up.
You must RSVP at wakeuptucsoncomments@gmail.com.